Okay, so you remember this Braisa. The Braisa learns out from Posuk all of the... Where's that Posuk? Hold on a second. Give that sheet. I told you to keep the sheet. I told you to keep the sheet, but now I can't find one. Wait, no, here it is. We thought you were Saul coming with the drink.
Alright.
So the Posuk... there's two different limudim of the pasuk, but the pasuk in Dvarim Perikov Gimel Motzeis Fatecha Tishmor Vasita Kasher Nadarta Hashem Elokecha Nadava Asher Dibarta Beficha. So the Braisa learns out. It was only really a machlokus about the beginning of the pasuk, but the rest of the pasuk everyone seems to agree. Beficha means tztaka. That is, that the Braisa learns out all the different things for which there is bal ta'achir, this violation of withholding, this withholding violation, that if you don't pay up your nedarim, your karbanot, etc. So one of them is tztaka. That's learned out from beficha, zu tztaka. So Omar Rava, you see where we are?
No.
8 lines from the bottom on Vav Amud Aleph, the first word is Beficha.
Did you skip ahead? I thought we were in Halkesod.
But... No, we rushed at the end last time, but that's where we're starting. Beficha zutztaka. So Omar Rava, utztaka michayeva la'alter. And I said, what do you mean this bal ta'achir? And it's, if I say I'm going to give tztaka la'aniyim. So what does it mean that I have 3 regalim to pay it up, and then after 3 regalim I violated bal ta'achir? Tztaka you have to give right away. You can't say I'm going to give tztaka and then, says Rava, I'm going to give tztaka and then wait until 3 regalim pass. Wait, I lost my place. My time, eh? Daha kaima aniim. Why? Because there's always aniim. As I say, I'm going to give tztaka. Tztaka, stam tztaka means tztaka for poor people. It's not like today. Today we're talking about tztaka means all different types. I mean, there are a lot of worthy causes, right? Like you can make a tax deductible donation to the political party of your choice. But that's not tzedakah. And it's not everything that gives you a tax deduction is tzedakah in the, you know, conventional sense. There are a lot of worthy charities. And if you want to give money to the Philharmonic, gesundheit. But that's not tzedakah. It's charity. You understand the difference?
It's a truma.
Which is like, I mean, the contemporary Hebrew word truma is borrowed from a holy context. Not that I am saying you shouldn't give money to the Philharmonic or to the Botanical Garden. Tea fosters Torah study.
That's
right. No, in other words, there are... no, in other words, this tztaka la'anim. Tztaka stam, tztaka with a capital tzad is tztaka la'anim. And then there's tztaka for, let's say... spiritual, religious Torah causes. So something that's... by the way, you said it like a joke. I don't remember the last time any of you gave a donation to Atid. I'm happy to accept. You know, I don't take a salary for teaching this year. But I do work as a, you know...
Start giving Siva Rav Bashish.
So and then there's other charitable causes which are fine, but it's, you know, when factoring out my circs of him, you know, this obligation, I'm not sure that the Philharmonic would count, which is not true about a donation you might give to your synagogue or your Talmud Torah or your Tomchei Shabbos. So generally speaking, you say I'm going to give a korban, you make a neder to bring a korban, or you make a nedava that this animal is going to go to Beit HaMikdash, you have 3 regalim to bring it. Why? Why don't you have to bring it right away?
Because your shalim's far away.
Yeah, because we understand that you can't always get organized from today till tomorrow. Even though in theory, you don't have to wait for Yontif. In theory, you can go to your shalim and bring a korban anytime. But okay, we understand people normally go to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim, and
it's probably what you meant.
And probably, well, in other words, let's say Stama. That's what it is. But Tzedakah, we don't need to give you that grace period. That's the idea of Shalosh Regalim is a grace period, right? Because we have to make it reasonable for you to bring your animal to Beit HaMikdash. We can't expect you to bring it from today to tomorrow. I mean, you could say, like, you could imagine a parallel universe. You could imagine a parallel universe in which, if you live a certain distance away, or if you live within a certain distance to your Shalayim, so then you have to bring it right away. Right? Why should somebody who lived in the old city have three regalim? Okay. I mean, we could also say that income tax, like if you have a lot of money, you should pay your income tax once a week. But not everybody can manage to do that, so we make it once a year. So once we make it once a year, so it has to be one thing for everybody. Right? It would be impossible for the guy in the Galil to bring his korban right away every time. But so we have to give him a grace period. So that has to be universal. The same thing with, but for tzedakah is not like that. Right? You don't have to go to Beit HaMikdash to bring tzedakah. But you get an aliyah and you say you're going to make a tzedakah. Well, I was at an azkara today. I was out at the cemetery. It was a shloshim. So they made a Kamal Rachamim. So the person saying the Kamal Rachamim said, Ba'avur she bli neder. I don't know if he said bli neder. She kulanu she nitan tztaka bad askart nishmato. So first of all, I wasn't sure, like, how can he be mechay? In other words, because I answer amen to the Kamal Rachamim. Can he be mechayev me because I was present? I'm not sure. And if I say amen, I'm talking about his neshama in Gan Eden. Not sure that it's, it's like a curious. But so somebody makes a neder like that. Somebody says it, for themselves. Somebody says it for themselves. You know. So they should bring that. So when should they give the tztaka la'aniyim? So you don't have to look far to find an ani. There are aniyim all over the place. If you can't find one today, you can certainly find one tomorrow. But why should we give you a grace period of three regalim to give you tztaka la'aniyim? So Rava says, why should there be bal ta'acher, meaning why should you have this, bal ta'acher should kick in right away. Why should you have this 3-month thing? Why should bal ta'acher, why should tztaka be on the list of things that you have three regalim? Right? It should be la'alter. Pshita ma'u detema, kevan de ba'anyane de karbonos ktiva ad avre ola gimel regalim ke karbonot kamash malon. So I might have thought that since tztaka is listed with these other karbonos things, that the laws apply kamash malon. It doesn't. Hatam hu de talin hu. Rachmana biragalim. Regarding the karbanos, the Torah introduces this idea of the 3 yontif deadline. Aval hocha, but in our case of tzedakah, lo dahashchichei aniyim, because there's always an ani. Right? The impetus that caused us to give you a long deadline for karbanos is not present for aniyim, so therefore it shouldn't apply. So Omar Rava, kevan she'avar alav regel echad over ba'aseh. So Rava says, once one regel is passed for tztaka,
or just in general?
Oh, in general. Right? Kevan she'avar alav. So Rava's opinion is altogether different. Right, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm really rather tired. The words not coming out straight tonight. We previewed this when we started the sugya. Right, we've been working with this idea of bal ta'acher kicks in after 3. But I told you when we started that that's not a unanimous opinion. And Rav is of the opinion that you have one yontif. Meitveh.
But he includes in that tzedakah, is that what he's saying? He also
Now hold on a second. Look at this. Look at the Shulchan Aruch here. The Shulchan Aruch in Yeradeya Simen Reish Nun Zayin Siv Gimel Hatzdaka Harei Hi Bechlal Nederim. Tzedaka, a pledge of tzedaka is a form of a neder. Lefika Chaomer Harei Alai Sela Tzedaka. This, how much is a seller worth? This, it's like the Flintstones, right? How many clams? How many, right? The guy says it's $100 bill. For tzedaka, harei sela zut tzedaka chayav litna la'aniyim miyad. Ve'im icher over bevalta acher. So as if somebody says, I'm no dare, $100 tzedaka. Or he holds a $100 bill and says, this bill is for tzedakah, so you should give it right away.
What's my record?
Oh, so hold on a second. Shahare biyadoli tain miyad. V'aniyim mitsuyim heim. In other words, that's because he has it in his hand and he could give it, unless he has the money at hand. And he has it. What you have two? And it's the gift stuck. You need two things: you need the money, and you need the ani. It rhymes. The im ain shamani im. So what do you do? Mafrishu meniach ad shiim tzaniim. You should take that. And even though we don't like our money, doesn't work that way. And even today, you can give money to tzedakah. We mentioned this last week, the week before, the problem of moving to a largely cashless society.
This is clearly talking about a case where you're talking about a specific bill.
Or coins, yeah.
Coins, something, because, I mean, specific
right.
currency, because otherwise, like, if it was abstract, and there'd be issues of, like, an abstract, you couldn't, like, for example, you couldn't do this on Shabbat.
Right.
You could say abstractly, I'm going to give 100 shekels on Shabbat, and then,
right.
then once the time, once it's not immediate, then we have to figure out what actually the time is.
Well, obviously, if somebody makes a neder to give tzedakah on Shabbat, the halacha does not.
No, but he wouldn't be able to do this anyway, because he says, Harei Sela, like, Harei Alai Sela. So like you wouldn't be talking about Tzela Zo on Shabbat. So this would only be case for you.
It could be. There's $100 bill on the.
No, because that's. I mean, I thought talking about spinning the bill. I mean,
okay. Yeah. Let's say, but there's $100 bill on the
coins and bills.
Right to donate tzedakah hadlakat nerot.
Yes.
So what are you supposed to do?
Well, usually that. I mean, that minhag I think is you give put a few coins in the pushka before hadlakat nerot. But
when you get naliyah. And
right, so it is, you should try to pay that as soon as possible.
But even when there isn't Shabbat, even it's not Shabbat, you still have either one or two cases. You don't have the money on you.
So listen, hey guys, how about this idea? Let's finish reading the Shulchan Aruch. Ve'im ein shamaniim. Right. By the way, this is very practical. On, you know, everybody gets uptight on Purim. Because on Purim, you need, like suddenly, all year long, the ani needs you. Right?
Right.
And all year long, they knock on your door. You're in the middle, you just sit down to dinner, there's a knock at the door. Right? You ever try walking to the Kotel, like from Shara Shpot, during the week? You can't, I mean, Karbach, you know, has that story about, you know the Karbach story? It's on the Nachamu tape. Now when I say tape, you understand.
Yeah.
But I'm a man of a certain generation. So on the Nachamu tape, he says, yeah, he comes to the Kotel for the first time. He says, a Jew comes to the Kotel. It's not a first person. He's telling him. Jew comes to the Kotel first time. And, I mean, really, gewalt, every schlepper, schnorrer, he's got his hand out. He gets off the bus, and he goes through Shar HaShpot, and he's walking. He can't get 10 feet. Somebody's got their hand in his face. And he, you know, he came from New York. He had some shlech mitzvah money. So he gives this one a dollar, that one a dollar. And, you know, they look at the dollar and they say, brother, you know, you came from America, you only got $1. Where's the other dollar? So it's like they're sometimes a little aggressive.
So he's finally he works his way through the crowd. He gets to the Kotel, like a whole lifetime he's waiting to come to the Kotel. He thinks it's going to be like Gvald. It's going to be like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur all together on the same day. He takes out his, rolls up his sleeve, he takes out his tefillin shel yad, he's about to say Baruch on tefillin shel yad, and right there there's another guy, hand in his face, and he says to him, "Listen, my holy brother, you think I came all the way to the Kotel just to give you money? I mean, really, leave me alone." Right? So the man runs off. So the Jew, this rabbi from New York, feels terrible. I mean, how can you daven after you yell at another Jew? How can you daven after you just came from the Plaza Hotel and had a big breakfast, or at least to have a big breakfast right after you daven? And this yid probably hasn't eaten in a couple days. So he's broken. He comes every day to the Kotel looking for this holy beggar because he wants to get, he'll give him $1,000. I mean, and he looks all over Yerushalayim, he can't find him. When the Ani wants to find you, you can't hide. When you want to find him, so finally he's despondent. He doesn't, his whole life he's dreaming of coming to Eretz Yisrael, coming to Yerushalayim, coming to the holy Kotel. The whole thing's been ruined. On the last day, he's on a bus going maybe Meir Sharim to buy some Sforim. Behind him was this Jew. He takes out $100 bill, he shoves it in his hand, he says, "I'm so sorry I insulted you. Can you ever forgive me?" The Jew says, "You misunderstand. I don't want your money. Don't you remember me? I'm Moshe Cohen. We grew up together on the Lower East Side. But you insulted me so much, I ran away." So what this rabbi didn't know, what this Moshe Cohen didn't know, but only this rabbi knew, was that in the Depression, this rabbi was broke. He had nothing. He lost it all. This rabbi's father lost everything in the Depression. And the father of this Moshe Cohen gave him a loan so that he should reestablish himself. And he got back on his feet, and he raised his children. But Moshe Cohen's father died, and the widow and the children were nowhere to be found. And the rabbi knew that the loan had never been repaid. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that I should come to the Kotel and meet the son of this Moshe Cohen so I could pay back this loan and do a little bit extra. So you see, my holy brothers and sisters, you always have to be careful to pay back your loan, and you always have to treat the ani with respect. Because sometimes you see a Jew in Yerushalayim, and he looks like a little bit down, he looks a little bit downtrodden, he looks a little bit like he could use some help. You never know. You never know. La 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 la. You should get this. Kalbach's greatest tape is Nachemu Nachemu Ami. We're coming up on Tisha B'Av. So all year long, the Ani finds you. A Purim morning, you forgot to take care of your Matanot Lev Yonim in advance. You're looking for the Ani, you can't find him. You're running all over. Sometimes you have to drive to another city to find. It's like a Shaila. If you drive to Yerushalayim and you find an Ani, are you Yotze? Because for him, it's not Purim. For you, it's Purim. For him, it's not Purim. Right? So what do you do? So that's the same halacha applies in Purim. It's Bidyevet. Right?
I think if it's during a lunar eclipse, then it's for sure.
So what does Shulchan Aruch say? V'im ein sham ani'im, mafrishu maniach ad shiyimtza ani'im. If on Purim Taka you can't find the Ani to give Matanot Lev Yonim, you should plan it in advance. Yeah, you should give it to one of these organizations. It takes care of you. Right? But you should be mafrishu maniach. You should say, this is Matanot Lev Yonim, and you set it aside. Hago, the Ramo says, you know the Ramo? The Ramo, right? You know Krakow? You know Avi Baumel? It's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Avi Baumel, our neighbor, when he's not being our neighbor, is the Rav of Krakow.
Right.
I mean, he's like the Rav of Krakow.
He's a Rav in Krakow.
He's a Rav in Krakow. But okay, we call him the chief rabbi of Krakow. He sits on the throne of the Ramo in the Ramo's shul. But the Ramo's shul has now been kind of confiscated. So just Google it.
Oh, that was that?
The shul in Krakow, yeah. This is talking about staka that a person can give out, disperse on his own. Aval keshenodrin staka bevet haKnesset litna liyada gabai. But this, as the Ramo says, in our days staka works differently, right? Staka has become by the 16th century in Poland, staka, even though you can always give to the schlepper or schnorrer in the shuk. Try saying that 10 times fast. But staka had become centralized through the gabbai, right? That's what the gabbai means, right? The gabbai means he's the one that's goveh, he's the charity collector. Oshart staka sheish lo liteng le gabbai. Eino over aleha af al gav da'ani mitsuyim. So in other words, in our day, when the staka, you make a neder staka, you give it to the gabbai. Because the gabbai, together with the rabbi, or the social worker, or whatever they had, they're in a better position to figure out the distribution of the tzedakah funds. You know, it's not a very effective system that we have. You know, that walk from Shar HaShbot to the Kotel is not necessarily the most effective way to distribute tzedakah. Even though the halacha is, somebody puts their hand out, you should try to help them. But it's not a very effective... How do you know that the money that you're giving is going to the most needy instead of to the most aggressive? Adarabba, maybe the least aggressive is the one who's in the greatest need. So in Poland, they had a communal system by which charity was distributed, with the added benefit, of course, of it being done anonymously. The recipient and the donor, you know, the Rambam's kind of ladder of values and staka, it's preferable to do it anonymously, so as not to neither to embarrass the recipient nor to cause the donor to feel a little haughty. So when you distribute your staka through the central fund, so there's no problem about that here. What does that remind you of? What halacha does you give your staka to the right? The staka fund is kilo like a bet din. For tzedaka. Hefker, why Hefker? What? Prusbul. Ah, is that what you meant?
I was thinking, what's our rating? Prusbul is a better...
Right, there's Prusbul. How does Prusbul work? You give your loans over to the Betin. And then the Betin can take care of it. And since Betin kind of exists outside of the regular Ma'arechet, so the giving over of the Shtarot is like an initiation of the collection process. So once you've initiated the collection process, it can continue after Shemitah. So the giving of the Tzedakah to the Betin, even though it hasn't yet helped the Ani, gets you off the hook for Baal Ta'achir. But if the gabbai comes to you and says, you owe tzedakah, either because you made a pledge or because then maybe even in the nature of this time and place, it's like a tax, right? Everybody had to give a certain amount of tzedakah. So if the gabbai comes to you and says you have to pay up and you don't pay up, so then you can be over on Baal Ta'achir. If there are aniyim present. And you know what? Gevalt, mamish. There's always aniyim. V'agabai haya mechalek lehem yad. V'im ein yedua l'gabai, tzarechu lahodiya l'gabai mashenadar. Oh, this question came up last week. Right? In other words, who's to know? Somebody makes a neder and he doesn't pay up. So who's the wiser? Well, aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodei HaTa'alumot. But the point is that you have an obligation. You shouldn't make a neder in private. You should tell the gabbai, oh, by the way, remind me I owe tzedakah. And the gabbai knows to chase after you. That's generally a good, principle, because we tend to forget things that, you know, we gentlemen of a certain age, right? You know, you how many times do you say, like, you know, you're in the car or the bus on the way to work, and you say, oh, when I get to work, I have to remember to do X. And if you don't write it down, or you don't make a memo, or, you know, have other, whatever system.
My phone reminds me.
Yes, if you don't have Siri to help you. It's like, what are the chances you're going to remember it?
Reduced over time.
It could happen that you forget. Velo mikre aniim mitzuyim, ela aniim hatzrichim lechalek lehem. Aval im ein derech lechalek lehem miyad, lo mikre aniim mitzuyim. But in other words, if there's no effective way to get the money distributed to the aniim, even though the aniim are existent, so then it's as if they're not there. What would be a case of an ani being present, but there's no like effective way to distribute
Shabbat.
It? Oh, Shabbat. Maybe that's what it means.
I mean, certainly that you can't give it to them.
It's a woman.
Where did you get some food?
The
imamar eten sel tzedaka laploni eino over ad shiyavo oto ani afal gav deshar ani mitzuyim. So if you say, if your neder is that you're going to give it to, remember Supershnar? I think he's still around. He must be very old. Supershnar was his guy in Geula. He must have been like American Bamakor. He spoke English like with an American accent. He was one of these very charismatic anim. He was a very charismatic schnorr. They used to call him Super Schnorr. So, and he'd come and he'd give you, he'd like, you know, he was very entertaining and very gregarious and very, you know, you'd want to give him one shekel, and by the time he was done with you, you gave him 20 shekel. Or you remember Rachmanis, the old lady used to be at the Kotel. She like had the corner on the market at the Kotel. She since passed away. She was about this tall. She had like that dark leathery skin in the mitpachat and maybe two teeth in her mouth. And she gave out the red Kanina Hara bendels, you know.
By the stairs going down.
Yeah, but she was like pretty aggressive. She was pretty. My mother always used to go to her. Because if you gave her nicely, she'd shower you with every bracha in the world. And if
she thought you gave someone more than her,
yeah.
She would
so she'd write every eye in her, and she'd spit, and she'd. Yeah. So I forget her name. So if you say I'm going to give money, you know, you have your, like the tourists tend to have this, like they have their ani. Right, you know, people have like a special relationship with Tova, right here in the, you know, in our supermarket on Fridays, right? They're being like my children, like developed relationships with her, right? She seems to, I don't know what her story is, but she's a special woman. She also you give her 10 agarot and she gives you every bracha in the book, but. So you say, you know, my mother comes from America. She says I have money for Tova. So if she shows up and Tova's not there, but there are other aniim there, so she's not over on Bal Ta'achir, because that was a neder specifically for this one ani. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber continues with Dafka Mafrish Tzedaka Stam, aval kol adam yachol lahafrish meot letzedaka shiyu munachim etzlo litnam ma'at al yad. Right, kimo sheyelo. But in other words, if you don't make a neder, if you have tzedakah, right? Everybody has a certain amount of tzedakah. Like maybe that's what the pushka is. I mean, there's like a pushka like that's organizational, right? You know, like sometimes they come around from this yeshiva, from that Tomche Shabbos, whatever it is, and you keep the pushka in your house, and they come and they collect the money, and whatever money you put into that pushka. The act of putting the coin into that pushka for whatever it is. We had one for Yeshiva Shavei Chevron. I don't know how it got into the house. It came to the house. and then it sat there on the shelf, and whatever money, once you put a coin in there, it's like a neder that you're giving it to Shavei Chevron. And like after 6 months, some bocher came and knocked on the door and collected the money. But if you have like a regular, like a generic pushka, so that money that you put into the pushka is mukdash for tztaka. Like, you know, if your kids say, I need 5 shekel, tomorrow is the thing in school, I need 5 shekel, you shouldn't take money out of that pushka. It's not your kupa ktana, right? In our house, the kupa ktana is the couch, the sofa cushions, right? There's always, if you're looking for some spare change, there's always in the sofa cushions. So, but you don't have to give it miyat, right? And as you've set it aside for when it's time, and when the guy comes knocking at the door, so you have money waiting in the pushka. Kemoshi v'chein im hitna b'shash nadar b'tztaka o hitna devotam shiyu hagabayim rishayim l'shanota l'tzarfa b'zahav harei elu mutarim. That's about like changing the money. So go back to the Gemara. So Omar Rava came she'avar alav regel echad over base. So he says, in terms of regular korban, everything on the list is you get one regel. So meitve, the Gemara attacks this idea. Hey, id Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Papias. What kind of name is Papias? It's from Greek. It means what? It means Papa. No. Right. It's like Abba.
No. Shoer.
Shoer?
Shomer, Shoer.
Oh.
It says that Shomer Petach.
What's on? So Omer Rabbi Yoshua, Heid Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Papias. What does it mean, Heid?
Is that like
the
Ediot? Like,
yeah, so this is a Mishnah from Ediot. You see Ediot Perek Zayin. You know what Mesechet Ediot is? Right. Mesechet Ediot is the grab bag Mesechta of Mishnah. It's the list of halachot that Chachamim were me'id. They testified, they established, they entered these halachot into the register on a specific day. What day was that? The day that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, right? And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. So the Gemara in Brachos says, the day they brought in all these Saf Salim and all these people came to learn, it was a Yama Tova L'Rabbanan. So the halacha is always, there's, you know, like, remember Gemara poker? I've mentioned this many times. Like a Mishnah beats a Braisa, etc. So a Mishnah from Ediot is... I can never remember. What's the highest hand in poker?
Straight flush.
Whatever it is.
Stem cell?
Biologist.
All right. There's a Mishnah in Ediot, because the halacha is always like the Mishnah in Ediot, because of the origins of how it was taught. What's the nickname for Masechet Ediot that the Gemara in Brachos gives? No, we learned this Gemara. What?
It's not the nickname. Right?
No, the nickname for what is Chazal called Masechet Ediot? We learned this together in the caravan. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, I'm excuse me.
It's longer than you think.
Bechirta. The Mishnah in the fourth paragraph says, Ediot is called Bechirta, the choice, the distinct Masechta, because the halacha is like every Mishnah in Ediot. So Amar Rabbi Yoshua Papias, Al Vlad Shlamim, Sheyekarev Shlamim, that you had a shlamim. You have an animal that you made a neder, I'm going to bring this animal as a shlamim. And then the child, that animal gave birth. And you also brought the child of the animal as shlamim. You had a shlamim ben shlamim. So Amar Papias, ani me'ed shehaita lanu parash shel zivchei shlamim, v'chnua b'fesach, v'chalnu v'lada shlamim b'chag. In other words, on the way to Yerushalayim, we were bringing the shlamim to Yerushalayim on Pesach. Before it got there, boom, it had a calf. So we ate the ima on as a shlamim on Pesach, and we ate the baby as a shlamim on Sukkot. What's the problem?
More than...
Well, for its problem, for Rabba, is if it has to
for
be...
For Rabba.
When should they have brought the baby?
On
Shavuos.
Or
Shvi? No, but Pesach for the purpose of one yantif, Pesach is viewed as one yantif, and Sukkot, including Shmini Atzeres.
So why should the Dafka put it off till?
Why do you say Shavuot?
What's the next yantif after Pesach?
Why do they have to bring in the next yantif?
Because there's one regel.
You have to, or you can.
They have to bring it.
No,
Rava
says. Rava says. If you let more than one yantif pass, no, you're over on Baltachi.
It's not like you're saying you have to do it by Shavuot. You have to do it on Shavuot. You have to do it by Shavuot.
You're right, by Shavuot, but they do it for Sukkot.
No, but it's not like the, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
What's your question?
You know what I meant.
You make a neder on this calf, we made a neder on the mother.
Ah, so if the mother's a shlamim and the mother shlamim gives birth to a baby, the baby's also a shlamim.
Is that Ruvan Melov?
No age factor involved.
Oh, so what's the problem with the age?
7 days.
So it has to be at least, well, the eighth day and forward. Okay, so fine. So that's why they didn't bring it on Pesach. So then, but by the time Shavuos came, they could have brought it as a shlamim.
They did have to bring it on Shavuot.
Not on, by.
They should have brought it by Shavuot.
No, they could do it Pesach because it wouldn't be 8 days.
But you can bring it between
right.
Pesach.
So when should they had should have had to bring it?
By Shavuot.
Right? If I have a cow in Adar, and I say, this cow is a shlamim. I'm going to bring it as a shlamim. We're going, next month we're going for yantif. And boom, I didn't know it has a surprise baby. So I can bring both mother and child. You can't do it on the same day because of otoved beno. But you could do it. You could do it when you get to. But here, presumably, they couldn't do both on Pesach because the child had been born within 7 days of Pesach.
Could have waited
to Israel. But they didn't. But they didn't have to. Those kol od they weren't chayiv there. They couldn't have brought it on Pesach because of the technicality with the age. So they don't have to bring it on Israel. What's according to Rava, then what's the deadline for this child?
Sure.
Till Shavuos. Right?
But why but we still haven't resolved the question, why does it say on Sukkot?
That's the question. That's why it's a mesveh. Rava says you have to bring it within one yantif. But what's the kushya? You have these two tanayim that tell us a story. And what's the highest? It's even better than a mesech. It's better than a mishnah ediot. It's a maisa shaya. So how could it be? What, you think Rav Papias would have been over in Bal Tachir? Right? And as he says, I did this. Obviously, the edut of Rav Papias is against the halacha of Rava. It can't be that you have only one yantif.
Right.
So bishlam av pesach lo ekrivuhu. So I understand why they didn't bring on Pesach. Imur de mechusar zman. There wasn't enough time. You see, Rashi says mechusar zman. Shema lo avru alav shmona yamim. Because it wasn't yet 8 days. It was born on Erev Pesach. Elav lada ba'atzeret hechi. Mashila. Right, so why did they bring it on Shavuos? Va'avrele basse. Right, they every after from Shavuos until Sukkot, they're over on the Aseh of Bal Tachir. So Omar Rav Zavid Mishmei de Rava Kegon Shehaya. Oh, there can be a case of when they wouldn't. What happens? The kid is born on the kid. The calf is born on Erev Pesach. You can't bring it on Pesach because it's not going to be 8 days old before Pesach. right? So they have to bring it on Shavuos. So this is Rava's response. But what was the matter? Maybe they couldn't bring on Shavuos. Maybe the animal had a mum over. Right? So for a technical reason, they couldn't bring it on Shavuos. So they were off the hook. They had a ptur from Shavuos. So then they have to bring it by
Sukkot.
By Sukkot. Rav Ashi Amar, Mai va'achlu v'lada shlamim b'chag. When you, it doesn't say they ate on Sukkot. It said they ate on Chag. So Chag generally, Chag Stam means Sukkot. Is there an entry on Balashon? But not everyone says that Chag means, I mean, even we. Right?
Sometimes it's men or speak.
Sometimes Chag with a capital Chet means Sukkot. Ha-Chag. And sometimes Chag means, where are you going to be on Chag? Right? And then there's like those pedantic people, like when you see them on Hanukkah and you say, Chag Sameach, and they tell you, technically it's not a Chag. Right? And you can respond, you know, technically you're not a normal human being. No offense.
I would never say that.
I'm a descriptivist,
So maybe Chag, when he said they ate it, he says it was born on Erev Pesach and we ate it on Chag. Which Chag? Chag HaShavuot. Chag HaShavuot. Zman Matan Torah.
You could say that they were not makbid on the lashon because
No, you could even say they are makbid on Chag. In other words,
when they said Chag, they didn't mean.
Yeah,
that's a very atypical way of specifying Shavuot.
Whereas it's a typical way of describing Sukkot.
The Chag 3 years later.
No.
Yeah, Dafke in this case of telling the story.
No, three years later, the holiday, he's racked up enough Baal Ta'acher to.
The story is trying to make a point. So why Dafke make a point with terminology that's.
No, because in other words, the story is not trying to make a point about Baal Ta'acher. In other words, we're introducing this Mishnah as evidence in our discussion to try to counter Rava. In its home context, in Edyot, it's got nothing to do with Rava. It's completely anachronistic. They lived long before Rava. Right? They're Tanaim. Rava's an Amora. So we introduce it as evidence to try to say Rava's halacha that you have only one chag until you're over in Baal Ta'acher cannot be right. Why? Because we have evidence that Rav Papias, his actions do not conform with that. So then Rava can answer, not so quick, maybe either A, his case was an exception to the rule because of the sick animal, or B, you're misreading the case, because Chag doesn't have to mean Sukkot, it can also mean Shavuot, the next Chag. Diktani Chag HaShavuot, V'idach Kol Heiched Tani Pesach Tani Atzeret. So Omar Rava, Kevan she'avru alav gimel regalim b'chol yom v'yom over b'val ta'achir. So then Rava says, no, so wait, so now he's revising his position here, he's splitting his position. He says, once three chagim have passed, then you're over on b'val ta'achir, you start racking up.
So every day will be an extra avura.
Every day you get, however God keeps his books, but every day you get an X, you get a black mark, whatever it is. But maybe when should you have done it?
After Shifra.
In other words, maybe you should, maybe really you should do it after the first Yantif. But you don't necessarily start racking up the Averas until three have passed. Well, we do have this idea in all types of things.
Like the mafra.
But you have it and chatchil and
once you didn't bring it on time, the mafra, you were over.
No, we don't say that le mafra, that you start racking up the avera. No, what's the whole idea of chatzishir? How much are you allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Nothing. Garnished. Not even a pirur. If you eat a piru, did you eat on Yom Kippur? Is it aser?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you chayav misa? No. Because in order to get karet, you need to have eaten a certain amount. But it's aser from the very beginning. I mean, lahavdil, what's the speed limit? Let's say the speed limit is 90. So if you go 90 and a half kilometers an hour, no cop is going to pull you over. But is it? Did you break the law? Yeah. Right? Let's say even no cop is going to pull you over if you're going less than 100. But if you're going 130, you're going to get pulled over. And how many kilometers an hour over the speed limit are you going?
40.
Meaning we start counting from whatever the limit was, even though if you'd gone over the limit, right? This is not a perfect analogy, but you understand the point. So that's the idea of chatzisha, so maybe that's what he said. Okay, so this is where we'll pick up. But I'm away.